Hello, Florida Bar members and Florida registered paralegals. This is a quick reminder from the Standing Committee on Mental Health and Wellness of Florida Lawyers that you are approved to use the Florida Lawyers Helpline, a completely free and confidential around-the-clock helpline designed to support you in managing the challenges of both your personal and professional life. By dialing 833-FL1-WELL or 833-351-9355, you can connect with mental health professionals who are ready to assist you. Take advantage of up to 5 complimentary in-person or telehealth counseling sessions annually, and remember, there's no limit to the number of calls you can make. Reach out today.
You're listening to the Florida Bar Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel. Produced by the broadcast professionals of the Florida Bar.
Welcome to the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. We're so glad you're joining us. This is Christine Bilbrey. I'm the director of the Practice Resource Center and one of the hosts of the show, which is being recorded from our studio in Tallahassee, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Moore. I'm a practice management advisor at the Florida Bar and co-host of today's podcast. Our goal at the Practice Resource Center is to assist Florida attorneys with running the business side of their law practices. We focus on a different topic each month and carry the theme through our website with related tips, videos, and articles.
So many attorneys have now been working fully virtual for years. And during the pandemic, most firms experimented with different levels of remote or hybrid work models. And for some, it worked very well, and they continued with it. But other firms chose to return to the office. While supporters of remote work point to increased flexibility, autonomy, efficiency, critics worry about the loss of mentorship opportunities and the potential impact on productivity and quality. For firms considering fully remote operations, the question remains, what is the magic key to running a successful law firm without a physical office? So joining us today to discuss operating a fully remote law firm is Marlise Dingman, firm administrator at Florida Appeals.
Marlise Dingman earned her BA in social work from the Northwest University in South Africa. After moving to the United States, she was hired at the firm Palmer & Palmer PA. Following Bill Palmer's appointment to the 5th District Court of Appeal, Marlise joined another well-respected Orlando law firm and began managing large corporate events and promoting South African musical artists. When Bill Palmer returned to private practice, Marlise was thrilled to join him and the whole Florida Appeals team as their firm administrator.
Welcome to the show, Marlise.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
So you have worked at both traditional in-person law firms, and now you're the firm administrator of a remote firm. Tell us about the history of that. Was your current firm always remote? Did they start brick and mortar and then transitioned? When did you jump into the mix? Give us a little background.
I have been with Florida Appeals almost 6 years now, and I came into the firm after Shannon Macklin started Florida Appeals. I came in about a year after she started Florida Appeals. The whole firm was fully remote already at that time. She started a remote law firm from day one.
Wow. Okay. Do you feel like there are certain challenges since you've experienced both? Were there challenges for you? Were there changes that you felt like you needed to make coming into that situation?
Definitely. It was a challenge coming in during COVID time, first of all. But I say the first challenge is communication. In an office, you have hallway conversations and quick clarifications. Remotely, you need to replace all of that with intentional communication. Studies show that a remote team miscommunication is twice as likely unless you have clear channels and expectations. We use daily check-ins at the firm.
Are you Zooming in or are you calling?
We Zoom in. We start every morning at 9 a.m. with a Zoom meeting with the staff. Every attorney knows that they can log into the Zoom room at 9 o'clock to discuss any case with any of the paralegals and legal assistant or me.
Tell us about your team. So you bring up everyone is Zooming in, and some people say, oh, our firm, it wouldn't work for our firm to be virtual because of how big we are, how small we are, those kind of things. So how many lawyers, how many support staff, what's going on with your team?
We have 5 lawyers. and one paralegal, a legal assistant, a bookkeeper. So we start as a team every morning, the paralegal, me, legal assistant, and the owner of the firm, Shannon.
I like that because it, I mean, from one day to the next, something can pop up. So at least you know, hey, we can have like this morning kind of powwow and go over a few things and then you can start your day. And
we go through
continue.
The calendar, we go through tasks, and we plan always several weeks ahead.
Do you also catch up? Because we went remote for 16 months here at the bar and we did Zoom check-ins. And because we missed each other, we saw each other's pets. We kept up on with each other's lives and we were doing work, of course. But do you feel like you're connecting on a personal level too? Is that helping keep that connection between you as people?
Definitely, because I think this second challenge is building a culture. Your firm needs a culture. And you can't rely on physical proximity to make people feel a part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Research also shows that remote workers who feel isolated are 21% less productive. So we've learned to create our own little virtual water cooler moments.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's 5 minutes personal check-in, that's at the start of the meeting, or a dedicated channel of sharing pictures, sharing achievements, personal milestones, birthdays, we make a point everybody's birthday, we get the whole firm on to say, to wish them a happy birthday and have a little visit.
Nice.
Are your staff all located in the same region or are they all throughout Florida?
We have staff in Florida. One attorney travels to Tennessee often, and one of our other attorneys is in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Okay, nice.
And we have a legal assistant in the Philippines.
Okay. All right, very broad. I like
and
that.
And every once in a while, I go to South Africa, and I work from there.
Very nice. So do you think your firm's specific practice area felt like a natural fit for remote operations? Because I would imagine there's some practice areas where it's just not going to work out very well. Maybe the whole team needs to be there, but how do you feel for your particular firm?
I definitely think for the type of law that we practice with appeals, it's definitely cost beneficial for our clients, and our need to have client contact is not as high mm-hmm. as it is in a trial firm.
And that's a good point to make. So if you're at the trial level, of course, you're appearing in court in person and everyone comes and testifies, the clients, that kind of thing. So as soon as you reach the appeal level, so we're familiar with the first DCA here in Tallahassee, it's just oral arguments. So there's not new evidence, new witnesses. So as you're talking, I'm like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Right. When you're, right.
So, okay. So how often are your attorneys traveling to do oral arguments, or are they coaching other attorneys that have the case that need help with the appeal part? How does that work?
What our firm offers, we offer moot oral arguments. We offer that to outside attorneys. Mm-hmm. So when we have an oral argument coming up, we schedule at least 3 moot oral arguments for our attorney within the firm. Since COVID, there's not been too many in-person oral arguments. A lot of them are still via Zoom.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And I guess it kind of depends, because you are also on the appeals. I assume that you're going, are you involved with cases off and on with all 6 DCAs around the state? Or
yes, we work in all 6 of the DCAs.
Okay, nice.
And one of our clients told me recently, he said, I don't care where you're sitting as long as you're sitting on my case.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
So we also want to talk about, we've touched on this a little bit, how your clients have responded to you being fully remote. Are there clients that do want to meet with you? And what do you do in that situation? Do you have a place where you can go sometimes that maybe Shannon or some of the other attorneys are like, okay, we'll have a face-to-face?
We very seldom, we do have remote offices in different areas, but very seldom does a client need to meet with us in person. We do provide trial support. So often one of our attorneys will sit second seat in a trial. Mm-hmm. So they will be contact at that time with the trial attorney in person, preparing for the trial. But for the most part, the clients do not feel they have a need. If anything, I think they prefer not to meet in person because it saves them time. It saves them travel time because a lot of our clients are out of state out of the country in Miami area.
Yeah. And that kind of ties into my next question. I was going to ask you, what have you had to tailor, you know, as far as your practices with working with clients and the service that you provide? So is it Zoom, or what are some of the things that
do you do conference calls?
Yeah,
or
that you have found works best to work within that virtual setting?
For the most part, we work with Zoom in the virtual setting.
And because your appeals, this just occurred to me too. Like a lot of times when we're talking to virtual practices, they have a lot of things set up for the client. So the portal, so for payments, for document exchange. But I guess when you're at the appeals level, you're working more with the attorney directly. So do you use a portal? Who's paying you? Is the client paying you, or is the other attorney doing it? I don't know how that works.
Most of the time, our relationship is with the client. The client signs the retainer, the client pays the retainer, and the client pays the monthly invoice. So they do pay it through a portal, and I'm in direct contact with invoices with the clients. There are cases that the trial attorney will hire us for consultation, for assistance, and then the trial attorney is responsible to pay us.
Okay. And so let's talk about the specific tools and platforms that are most essential for your firm's smooth operation in your virtual environment. Like, what as specific as you want to be? What's your practice management software? What are you using for, like, collaboration, drafting, whatever? Tell us what your main tools are.
We have a core tech stack. So for case management software, we use Practice Panther. This keeps all case files, deadlines, and tasks in one place. So everyone can see in real time updates and stay on top of their tasks and calendar. And then we have secure video conferencing. Zoom works the best for us. With the encrypted settings enabled, we use it for client meetings, court-related discussions, and internal check-ins. That's our go-to. And then we use cloud storage with security protocols. We store documents in Box. Box syncs with my Practice Panther. And it has a multi-factor authentication, and it's meeting or exceeding even the Florida Bar cybersecurity recommendations.
Nice. We like that you threw that in.
Yeah. No, that's great, because this is, we're getting more questions, you know, from our members that they had the brick and mortar and now they want to, you know, get rid of that, because I do think a lot of clients, they are preferring to meet virtually. They don't want to have to drive and traffic and go to the office. So we get those questions of, you know, what are things that work? So we appreciate you sharing that, because I think it is, you know, super helpful.
You know. Or they feel like they've got to get 10 different software programs.
And I don't think you always need to. I mean, mm-hmm. I think you can keep it pretty basic and streamlined, and it will work for you.
And I think that is something to take in consideration. The real key, I think, is training. Mm-hmm. And a tool only works if the team uses it consistently and understands its purpose.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely key. If you get something and you don't know how to use it, or if members of your team—
And don't overcomplicate it.
Right.
Because we've had a couple of times where Shannon and I come up with an idea. Oh, we got to use this. You know, and I can just see, you know, everybody on the Zoom's eyes glaze.
Well, I know that there are firms out there where the senior partners are very comfortable with an out-of-date software program, but it's what they like and they're going to use, and then everybody else uses something else, and they think that that is the answer rather than, and, you know, nobody wants to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. But that is not, when you're talking about just basic, like, data entry, making sure that it's correct, or two sets of calendars, like, that is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that once you've agreed on the software, everybody has to get on board.
There's a lot of software out there, and by exploring and learning about the software, I understand from my group at the Association of Legal Administrators that often they have that problem, that an older partner in the firm, they don't like change.
I think that is a very common issue. And I'm glad you brought up ALA. What an amazing resource that is. I'm a longtime member. Jamie's a member. It's such a good resource. So if you are an administrator out there and you're listening, try to get involved either at the national level, and hopefully you're in your local area, you have a chapter. So that was a lifesaver to me when I was a brand new law firm administrator. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Every luncheon I attend, I learn something. Mm-hmm. And what is so great is if I have a quick question, how do you handle this? I put it in my listserv, and immediately somebody pops up with an answer.
Yeah, crowdsource it. You don't have to spend weeks of your life finding out what's working. Yeah.
But I also have to say a huge part of why this model works for our firm is because of our founder, Shannon Macklin. She's not just the nationally recognized appellate attorney. She's the heart and the compass of the firm. From day one, Shannon had a vision that a fully remote appellate law firm could deliver the same precision excellence and client care as a brick and mortar practice. So she mentored me, trusted me, mostly empowered me and our team to step up, each in our own roles, and deliver our very best work no matter where we are in the world.
You're so fortunate to have a leader like that. Yeah, Shannon's very impressive.
Yeah. Her mix of unmatched legal expertise is and genuine belief in people isn't just inspiring. It's the reason why Florida Appeals also thrives.
Very good. And just speaking of, I mean, it sounds like she's empowered you all and she gives you that, like the tools to kind of go out and figure out things, you know, as challenges come up. But what are some challenges? I mean, we talked about the technology stack that you have, but did you have some technology that at first you were using and perhaps you're like, oh no, got to get rid of that, try something new? So can you just share that part of it? Because I know
a lot of times people don't realize that what they're using is not the best tool for it. And so like you see, I love doing demos, like almost I would say universally the practice management software programs out there will give you a free trial use, and you can see what the user interface looks like and if it's right for you, because sometimes it's just a personal preference. But every job is easier if you have the right tool.
Yes.
Did you find that there were tools you needed to replace?
Right. If you don't mind sharing.
Yes, our phone service.
Okay. Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That is a big challenge to find a good phone service. And I have literally gone through about four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is still a need for a good phone service that represents your firm. Mm-hmm. Most of the services that we're experiencing is that you never know who's answering the phone. They have a mass amount of people working the phones, mm-hmm. and the clients just doesn't get that personal touch.
And I want to dig further into that because this is huge. I mean, this is the first moment of contact with someone that someone has with your firm. I mean, other than like going to your website. And so there's two things here. As you were talking, I was thinking about the phone service itself, meaning are you using Google Phone? Are you using a VoIP? Or, you know, all those kind of things. So like what is your telephone service? And then also we're talking about the receptionist, like having a receptionist service. And so we've all been through, I've lost track of how many Florida Bar member benefits we've had because there were people that started some of those businesses and then left them and started a new business. And you could literally see the quality change as the people involved moved along. So we've gotten that a lot. So can you tell us like what is the actual like
package, I guess, that you're using?
Yeah. And then the virtual receptionist, tell the two things.
We're currently using Answer First.
Okay.
I recently switched to Ruby and that didn't work out. So we're back to Answer First. I changed our script so that a client can do the intake, but get the client faster to me. Mm-hmm. But that also takes a lot out of my day. But I think that is at this point working better.
And you kind of pay for what you get because there's the services. Like I remember a long time ago, doctor's offices would have those where they'd literally say, answering service. Is this an emergency?
Yeah, yes.
And you knew that you were talking to someone that really had nothing to do. At best, it was like getting them to scribble on a post-it and maybe it'd get handed to the person. That, you know what I mean? That the version
right,
of that.
Right.
So I know that the different services are some will – where that when the client calls, they don't realize that they're not talking to someone inside your firm because they do it so well. Mm-hmm. You know, like they ask them questions and they have enough knowledge to make the caller feel comfortable that all their information has been taken in. Maybe they set up the appointment for them. They go ahead and get a lot of that. But then that costs a lot more if you have that kind of touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of a you got to decide what you're willing to pay for that service. And then the other thing is some Websites now have a lot of intake software built into them. So when the client finds you on the internet, they can, you know, click through, put in their own information, schedule their own appointment, like see your calendar, all those kind of things. And so people, I think it's a preference, you know, like you're saying, how much of your time is it going to take?
Right.
So,
but doing appeals, it's so much different than I can't just open up a calendar for a client to schedule a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to do a conflict check. And a lot of our clients is the trial attorney that reaches out to us first.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, so I see why you had to kind of find what worked for you. So,
yeah, definitely. And I still want to just talk about the phones for a moment. So internally, do you use like Teams? I know you can do like a subscription with that and use that as your integrated phone. So you're not actually, you know.
No. All the phone calls comes to me.
Okay.
Or to the paralegal or to the attorney that they request to speak. But we do have a script. So they go through the script. If it is a current client, they will patch the call to the attorney.
Oh, okay.
If the attorney is not available, that call will come back to me.
Okay.
Any new clients, even if they ask for a specific attorney, will come to me.
That makes sense.
Okay. Very good.
So let's pivot a little bit and talk about mentoring and training new lawyers. So this is a thing that comes up a lot. You're trying to convey this beautiful culture that Shannon has created, but this person isn't going to be in the office, you know, being mentored in person by her or the other attorneys. So have you added attorneys to your team since you've been there, and how did you get them up to speed? What do you do at your firm?
I handle all the onboarding as the firm administrator first. We pair every attorney that come in with a more experienced attorney in the firm, a senior lawyer and a paralegal. We conduct screen sharing sessions where they observe how tasks are completed, navigate our Practice Panther software, and handle things like formatting an appellate brief or navigating e-filing. Anytime they have a question, because it takes a little bit of time often to navigate the software, I'll jump on Zoom and navigate through it, do a screen share, and that works very well.
Do you have, because Jamie is the queen of checklists. If you go to our website, she has beautiful checklist created for whatever you
checklist.
Need to do. So do you have a checklist for your onboarding that you've created? Or do you just know that they've got to, I got to teach them the software. I got to teach them how to fill this form out. And and like you're, because you're also setting up their benefits. You're doing all kinds of HR stuff too.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
So I do have a basic checklist that I stick by. And, you know, you go through the first steps of bringing them on board, all the HR, all the forms, setting up payroll.
Do you, and I'm curious, because when you're adding a staff member, are you and Shannon interviewing together virtually? Do they, and then if they get hired, do they spend some one-on-one time with her so that they can kind of absorb her vision?
Yes. Yes. Shannon definitely is the first one to work with them. We together look at resumes. And then she will have a one-on-one meeting, interview. She'll bring me in on the meeting because it does have to be a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a fit for the team.
Yes, because, I mean, I would imagine you're probably getting a lot of resumes if someone sees remote. I mean, I feel like everyone is, well, not everyone, but a lot of people are looking for remote. But you do want to make sure that they're gelling well with the team, they're fitting the culture, and that, yes, remote is wonderful, but you're doing what, you know, they need to be doing. You
and
know.
We're looking for certain qualifications.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and work ethic, because as soon as you're remote, you got to trust these people.
Right. And we require our attorneys, they need to bring in their own cases. We provide cases, but they also have to rainmake mm-hmm. and bring work in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good setup too. So they're not just waiting around.
No.
Get an assignment.
No. Okay. They need to get out there and bring work in, network.
Yeah, no, I think that makes
sense. A big difference, yeah.
We spend a lot of money in marketing. We do a lot of marketing events, conferences, and we give them opportunities. Come to the conference. Come market yourself. Mm-hmm. Anytime they want to attend any event, the firm supports them.
Does Shannon meet them in person before you hire them, or does she do it fully remote? Like if you're a brand new hire, I just thought about that because sometimes you want to get a sense of the person. So I wonder, she's been doing this long enough. Does she just, it's 100%?
She typically meets with them in person.
Okay.
It will be remote initially.
Okay.
And then she will make a point to meet them in person before they come on board.
And I want to talk about, so you as a team, so we've already kind of talked how you have your morning, you know, sessions of getting together and talking, but what about like being together, like in person? So do you all organize just retreats or gatherings or anything like that, like once
like
a year?
Like a holiday party.
Yeah, holidays or something just so you can, you know, get together and actually interact.
In our firm, we tried a couple of years ago to have a firm retreat, and unfortunately it was still during the COVID time or at the end of COVID, and our whole retreat fell apart at the end because of COVID.
I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah. We can all relate to that. But since then, we make a point to bring our attorneys in Florida Bar Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's in that area, come join us. Anybody from this area that wants to come join us. So we make a point at these events to have a Florida Appeals dinner.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, something. Yeah, so yeah. You do
so
feel
it's
connected.
It's hard to get everybody with Bill Palmer being in LA. It's hard to always get everybody at the same time in the same room. Mm-hmm. But we definitely work around different schedules.
And I didn't think about that. We met you at annual convention. We've had the pleasure of having our booth next to yours a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized watching your team because – We got to meet several members of your team. I hadn't even thought about that. It's social and it's business, which is perfect at annual conventions. So during the day, you can talk to people and tell them about it. And then at night, you, like you're saying, have a firm dinner or go out. So that's perfect.
Yes.
We like that plug for annual convention. Thank you.
There you go. And we typically try to have, you know, a little sit down where we plan on what's your goals? What would you like to achieve this year?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Definitely. All right. So what would you say is your firm's philosophy on work-life balance? And I think this is important because I just know, I think when you work remote, I would assume, you know, you might work longer than that 8-hour day because the computer is right there. You might step up and walk away, but you're like, oh, let me go back and just check a few more emails. And then before you know it, you're doing more tasks than you should just because it's there.
Like, and you don't cut it off like you should if you were leaving a physical office. So how? Yeah, that's
right.
A great question,
I
Jamie.
Definitely catch myself 6 o'clock in the morning while I'm waiting on my coffee at my computer and I say, why?
Yeah,
and
then
9 o'clock tonight, you don't know why you're still in your pajamas.
Right.
Yes. So do you have set work hours? Like does the whole team, and I guess since, and so one of your team is on Pacific time. So how are you doing all that?
And then we have Arnie, our legal assistant, that is 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
For us, we have set hours. We work office hours. Mm-hmm. So the office opens at 8:30 in the morning till 5:30. So staff is expected to be available during those hours.
Mm-hmm.
Attorneys knows they can reach us. The attorneys work their own schedules and their flexibility,
mm-hmm.
but we do require that they respect the staff schedule.
That's
and
important.
For us, remote work, it's not about working from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's about flexibility. With that core office hours, team members can adjust their schedules and accommodate their life.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the American Bar Association, lawyers are twice as likely as other professionals to experience burnout.
Yes.
Very true.
Yes.
So we definitely actively encourage our attorneys and our team members to take time off, put on that do not disturb, and we respect weekends. Shannon especially respects weekends.
Yeah.
That's really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone thinks that it's going to be easy breezy because I don't have to go somewhere anymore. And then, and then if you have partners who think they can text you on Saturday afternoon and, you know, at 5 a.m. because they've had a thought, that kind of blows the whole balance. Of it. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for an emergency, all of our staff is always there when needed also.
And I would imagine too, just taking the commute out has got to be amazing. I previously had a very long commute, and it starts to wear you down where you're in the car for 45 or 50 minutes. That was mine one way, and it's a lot. So
Definitely.
I think that is a benefit as well.
And there's a lot of other expenses that you're saving. Clothing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, clothing, gas,
lunches. You just have to look business from the top of.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and so we're fully back in the office here at the bar. I am just going to say it. I loved working remote. I worked more hours. I would forget. I did not log off during lunch. But I also was when I did log off at lunch, later on after I ate too much during COVID, we got a Peloton. And so it was right there. So I was healthier than I'd ever been. I was cooking fresh food. You know, I had my laptop on the breakfast bar, and then I could go ride the Peloton for 30 minutes. I would be on conference calls, watering my vegetables I was growing on the back patio. And I was firing on all cylinders, but it was the first time that I felt like, This is how life should be. No, right. No remote, no commute. So you're in Orlando. So when you were at the other law firms, were you having to drive across the city? And
yes, I had to commute every morning, every afternoon.
Yeah.
And I bet you don't miss that.
I do not miss that because I had to rush every morning. Little side joke. I work downtown Orlando. And I had to get up every morning and make it in time because if the train crosses, then the train stops on the tracks and then I'm late for work. So I have to be across before the train.
Oh, gosh.
And one morning I'm sitting in the conference room and I'm saying to the ladies there, I said, if I catch the train, I'm late. She says, you come to work via train?
Yeah.
I wish we had that much infrastructure. No. But I think that people forget if you have a good team in place and they are not necessarily type A, but, you know, they love their work. They're committed to doing the job, that instead of them being not productive enough, they're going to be way more productive. And research showed this. A lot of firms had their amazing billable years during the pandemic when they, you know, people were working. And I have to think it's because we weren't burned out from
travel.
Yeah. The commute and being late. And then if nobody is late because they didn't, you know what I mean? You're not even getting all these excuses. Like as the firm administrator, everyone's texting you, my car won't start. And,
right.
You know, there's a zillion reasons why people are not there. My kid is sick. And, you know, obviously that's on a case-by-case basis, but if your children are old enough that they're not going to disturb you while you're working remotely, they just can't be in school. That was a huge thing. There are so many pluses to being remote that creates a really good work-life balance.
The other big advantage is that you can hire from pretty much anywhere so you can get the best talent out there.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent, excellent point.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a real recruitment thing for people that, you know, want to live a more balanced life. But you're right. Your pool has expanded to the world if they're admitted in the state of Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Definitely.
Let's talk about another upside. How does operating without a physical office impact your firm's finances, both in terms of cost savings and maybe there were new expenses, you know, on the other side that you hadn't expected? So as a firm administrator, you're privy to all of that.
Absolutely. We save thousands annually on rent, utilities, cleaning service, commuting, all those related costs. But we've also taken on new expenses like premium software subscriptions, cybersecurity, different protections, and stipends for home offices.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of a lot of companies doing that where they give each employee enough money to buy like the desk, the chair, kind of
computer. Make
it comfortable, set up. Yeah.
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 So when we ran the numbers, the savings definitely outweighed the costs. But the biggest benefit was the flexibility in hiring. We can recruit the best talent regardless of where they live.
That's huge.
One of our attorneys live in Los Angeles and he's a retired 5th DCA judge.
Yeah. And you wouldn't, if he didn't want to retire here. That's his prerogative. But you didn't lose him.
Right.
I love that.
No.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. So we love talking about benefits, you know, of working remote, because I don't know, I think it is amazing. But what are some just unexpected benefits, you know, beyond what we've discussed here that you've encountered with a fully remote firm? Because you've had, you know, both sides of it where you've had to go into the office and have the commute and be there physically. But what are just some other things, you know, besides taking the commute out that...
For you or the firm.
Yeah, for you or the firm.
For me, the big thing is time. I can use my time so much more efficient. And I do feel the key for me is that work-life balance at home is not starting at 6 a.m. in the morning if I don't have to. And knowing what time to shut off or go and get a workout in and come back to the office is just the balance of setting office hours.
Yeah. I love that.
Because if you love your job and you love what you do, you do tend to be there for longer periods of time where I might have not stayed in the office because I'm in the office alone.
Oh, also your employees are going to be healthier if they're taking care of themselves. If they have the luxury of time to take care of themselves, so then there's fewer sick days. I don't know. I think I could just list off
A million reasons, right? And even with sick days, if you're not feeling well, while now an employee would call out a full day out of the office,
right?
Where here, maybe they just needed that little bit extra time in the morning, and then they're back at work,
right?
Yeah, or maybe they look awful and they sound awful, but they can still be
drafting things, feel well enough.
Yeah, right. They can make that choice. Where before, you're right, that now there's a full day of lost productivity,
right.
Oh, and I mean, now that we're talking about that, so even though you're remote, I'm sure you still offer sick days, vacation time, all of that
thing
as part of your package.
Yes,
so that's,
we do.
Yeah, because I would imagine you still want to take some time off, even though, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're
yes.
Home,
oh,
so.
I remember thinking about this during COVID. We were using fewer sick days because we weren't making each other sick.
Oh, yeah, right,
that's
yeah.
the other. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know, there's just. There's so many things when you go down this road that are an upside, like to let the person be...
A quick doctor's appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Book it in your lunch hour and compared to if you're in an office.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So many things.
I know.
we just sound jealous now.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking back from your whole experience... What has worked surprisingly well in running a remote firm, and maybe what didn't turn out the way you expected? Like, since you have seen both sides, were there things that you're like, I just hadn't thought about this till it happened?
Or if you could do it over again, maybe I would have done something different.
I think the things that's really worked for us was documenting everything, our processes, our templates, our workflows. It took some time to get all of that set up. And it took some time for me to get my head around what our needs are. And that is continuing every day. We come up with a new process. We change a process. That is a work in progress. Investing in the right tools early.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I hear from a lot of attorneys. It's a lot of money, the software. But that is your key. Invest in the right tool early. And then building the culture of trust and accountability. That really has worked for us in the firm. What hasn't worked well is assuming that the connections just happen. You have to create those moments intentionally. Using too many tools at once, that creates confusion, and that I really try to eliminate now.
Yeah, keep it simple. Have what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And invest up front. Yeah.
Absolutely. Getting the right tool early will save you all of that. When you have to migrate your data to something because you made the wrong choice, that's a very big expense.
Yeah. My best advice there is that I can offer is just start small and then add complexity only when your team is ready also. But sometimes you have to challenge them.
Yeah.
Very wise. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of our program. Thank you so much, Marlies Dingman, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
If you like what you heard today, please rate us in Apple Podcasts and join us next time for another episode of the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. I'm Christine Bilbrey.
And I'm Jamie Moore. Until next time, thank you for listening.
If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit LegalFuel.com. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Florida Bar's podcast via iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and RSS. Find the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, the Florida Bar. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
Are you looking to grow your practice? Consider joining the Florida Bar's Lawyer Referral Service. There's never been a better time to apply because we are currently waiving the $125 annual fee, so members who qualify can join the Florida Bar LRS for free. All panel members of the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service must be licensed in Florida, must be members in good standing, and must carry a minimum of $100,000 in professional liability insurance to participate. Panel members must also maintain an office physically located in one of the 52 Florida counties served by the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service. For more information and to apply, please go to floridabar.org/LRS.